fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth as we begin together the journey through this season of Lent. Such an important time of change and transformation, an opportunity for us to become and to take steps forward in becoming the utmost of what we were meant to be. It's a quote basically from Joseph Pieper. I mentioned at the beginning of this week a little book called A Brief Reader of On the Virtues of the Human Heart. I want to just reflect on periodically during Lent because it can help us understand as I enter into Lent, in this season of Lent, into fasting and prayer and doing penance and good works and the rest, what I'm doing is disposing myself to the work of God, to say, Lord, I understand this is a traditional season, really since the very early days of the church when following Jesus who went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, we enter the desert. And what happened to Jesus in the desert? He entered into spiritual combat where the devil tempted him on his identity, on his destiny, to try to trap him to not trust God, but to grab hold himself, to create his own destiny, and to no longer put his trust in God. That's the fundamental battle that's going on in every human heart. Are we going to trust God or not? And to what degree are we fully surrendered and trusting him? So we enter into this battle during Lent, and the battle is to allow the Lord to purify us of habit patterns of sin that we're battling with. So coming into the light, telling the truth, being accountable, going to the sacrament of confession, being willing to open our lives before God and letting his word shine on us and reveal to us the true condition of our heart. One way to look at this is kind of helpful to me at different times in my life, Lent, is that a day is coming, the big day of my existence is coming, when I stand before Jesus Christ, when I stand before the judgment seat of God. When that day comes, my entire life is going to be revealed. What did Peter Herbeck make of the life that he was given by God? In what way did Peter Herbeck cooperate with the abundant graces that Jesus offered him during this life to become in this life all that he was meant to be? Who was Peter living for? What decisions did I make? And friends, the reality of who I am is going to be revealed that day in its totality and its complete depth. No masks, no hiding. Everything will be exposed, and as Scripture says, laid bare before him to whom I must render an account. Friends, it is madness to live in this world and to not keep that final meeting in mind. In this earth, you'll never experience anything like it. And it's the definitive day. And so as we keep the end in view, which Lent helps us do, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? The Scripture is so clear that, and the Catechism echoes it so effectively, that all judgment has been given over to the Son. That is, the Father has given over to his Son, Jesus, the power and the authority. And he won that power and authority by dying on a cross, by shedding his blood, by being the faithful witness and fulfilling the purpose for which the Father had sent him. Because the Father's plan is that his Son would be the Lord of everything. All power and authority has been given to him, and that Jesus' commission, you could say, from the Father, is to gather up all those human beings, all those free creatures who want to be sons and daughters of God, who said yes to God and yes to his offer of mercy and salvation, Jesus is going to gather them in. And those who didn't respond to or did not want to say yes to God and went their own way, he will gather them up as well. But Scripture is very clear, and the teaching of the church is very clear, that he will exercise definitive and final judgment over every human heart. He will expose us. His light will shine in our hearts, where there will be no masking, hiding, but the very truth in our essence of what we've made ourselves to be in relationship to God will be made manifest. And he will judge us, but that judgment will be a self-revelation. We will know what we've done. And in that moment, the agony will begin. Because those who refused God's offer of mercy and grace in the person of Jesus, and even those who decided to be somewhat indifferent to their baptism, if they were baptized, baptism's not an automatic in the sense of, well, I was baptized once and it doesn't matter much how I live. Oh, it matters a great deal. So Lent is a time to just place yourself before God as if you're before the loving gaze of God, but you're standing before the judgment of God, the judgment seat of God. Talk to the Lord. Go to a Blessed Sacrament chapel. Maybe you've never been before. Find one at a Catholic parish. You can call Catholic parishes and ask them if they have one. Go and just kneel before the Blessed Sacrament. Or if you can't kneel, sit before the Blessed Sacrament. Or even if you're so moved, lay prostrate before the Blessed Sacrament. And let God's gaze be upon you. And ask him the question that St. Francis used to ask the Lord regularly. Two simple questions. God, who are you? And who am I? That's all I want to know. I want to know who I am in your eyes. When you see me, what do you see? I don't really know who I am. I can't know apart from you. So, Lord, speak to me. Help me understand. That's a kind of preparation, friends, for the final judgment day. It's a great question, like St. Francis asked many times during his life. It's a great question for us to pose to God regularly. And the Holy Spirit will help us. And God doesn't look on us with judgment now. He's come to us in mercy. He's come to reveal to us his love, and he's offering us salvation. And his heart toward each of us is tender mercy. But that time of mercy will come to an end, because Jesus has a mission from the Father to gather together one body of people from every tribe and every nation, every language, that wants to say yes to God and wants to live with him and for him and for his glory forever. So that starts now. And the world wants to work on us every day, fill our heads with noise and constant frantic movement and the anxiety and fears of the world and the radical pursuit of false identities and the putting on of masks and hiding in the shadows and the dark and all of that. It's just part of human life. It's a very serious spiritual battle. And the church knows it, which is why the church takes us by the hand into this season of Lent so that we can really do serious spiritual battle. And the fight is, who am I called to be and what does it look like to be a child of God? And so I think it was on Tuesday I was began to talk in more depth about what St. Thomas called the seven theses of the Christian image of man. What does it mean to become the utmost for which you're made? Where do we find happiness and ultimate fulfillment? By becoming all that we're meant to be. And he begins with faith, hope, and love, which is what I discussed on Tuesday. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net The programs are archived there. I began by talking about this little brief reader on the virtues of the human heart by Dr. Pieper. And then he goes into the four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. I want to talk a little bit, the few minutes we have, about prudence today. He said, the Christian is prudent, namely, he does not allow his view on reality to be controlled by the yes or no of his will, but rather, he makes this yes or no of the will dependent upon the truth of real things. Prudence is a habit. It's a virtue that puts us in a position of receptivity, of a kind of silent listening that allows us to make a judgment about the correspondence of the moral decision we want to make to reality. Is it a decision toward the truth or not? What's the truth about what I'm contemplating in a particular moral decision? Prudence helps me get grounded and squared clearly to see reality as it is. And so I just want to read a few things that he says about that. It may not seem so evident or gripping in describing it that way, but maybe we can dig a little deeper here and see what he has to say. He says, all duty is based on being. Reality is the basis of ethics. And goodness is the standard of reality. There's a lot packed in there. All duty is based on being. That by being, what does he mean? He means about the truth of real things. My duty is to act in accord with the kind of being that I am. A rational creature who lives before God, who's called to will the good. The good is that at which all things aim. The good is that at which all of us were made to pursue. God is the ultimate good, right? So he says goodness is the standard of reality. So if my reality, as I define it, violates the good, the objective truth about what is good, then I'm acting against the good and I'm living a false reality and I'm deforming myself. So the fundamental point he's trying to make is that the ground of all things is God. When he says all duty is based on being, God is the being, the ground of all reality. God is the being from which all things come into being and have being and have a truth by virtue of how they're made. God made you and designed you to be human, to bear his image and likeness. You're not a complete clean slate without any identity or any fundamental grounding of your identity, and that you just make it up as you go along. No, you begin with an identity. You're made in the image and likeness of God. That means you have a mind, you have a spirit, you have a will, and you have a capacity to enter relationship. You're made for relationship with God. You're made to live in a relationship of love with God and with God's creation. And so all of it, God, creation, even you, it's there. It has being. And so you're called to recognize it and live in accord with it. Say yes to it. Now, it sounds a little philosophical. I'm going to take some more of this up tomorrow, but there's a very key point for our culture to be drawn from these reflections by Dr. Pieper. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Pieter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Pieter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.